And welcome back to more open lines here on Coast to Coast. There's a little note again. Don't forget, daylight saving time hits at Sunday at 2 a.m. So before you go to bed Saturday, just turn the clock back an hour. Your watches, your smartphones, and your cell phones should recalibrate all by themselves. So that's kind of neat. You watch it where it says 2 o'clock, and then all of a sudden it's 1 a.m. right at the button like that. Saturday night, Connie Willis will be manning the desk, and I'll be on Sunday night, of course, with a couple great guests and emerging artists for the first couple hours as well, too. But let's come back with more open lines, and Tom is just ready with another text or tweet when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, and of course, just toss out, what is your favorite toy when you were a kid? Let's go to Scott, truck driving in Oklahoma. Hey, Scotty, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, this is Scott.
Good to have you with us.
Toy, 18-wheeler matchbox car, many years up and down my mom's kitchen.
Oh, those things were so cool, weren't they?
Yep. I'm going to try to make this real quick, George.
Okay.
And by the way, I want to thank you. I don't know if you remember me or not, but in 2009, my daughter passed away, and I reached out to y'all, and some of your callers actually sent us stuffed animals to give to kids on helicopters and ambulances.
I remember that. I
want to thank you for that.
Oh, it's our condolences.
Yeah, last night, y'all, you had a caller on about Charles Starkwater.
Yes.
He said they killed 7 people. It was actually 11 people that he killed over Nebraska and Wyoming. And he went on the spree from 1957 to 1958. And they didn't waste any time executing him. They executed him in 1959.
That's quick.
Yeah, real quick. And maybe they should do that a lot more often.
If they're right. Yeah, if they're right.
Yeah. If they're right. The lady in the chat on earlier about her son, if you want to get me over to Tom after we get off this call.
Okay.
I'll give you all my phone number. If not, just for somebody to talk to. Because my son went to the mental hospital tonight, and I know sometimes it helps just to talk to somebody.
He went tonight?
And, huh?
Did you say he went tonight?
Yeah, he went tonight.
What happened?
Yeah. Make a long story short, he had a blow up, and he got physical with my wife, scared my kid, my other kids.
Oh gosh!
Held a gun to his chin.
Oh no!
All sorts of stuff.
How old is he, Scott?
He is 20 years old now.
He's got his whole life ahead of him.
Yeah, he does, and he just got a really good job with Benny Keith, and he's probably going to lose it.
Oh God, that's sad.
Yeah,
that's sad. What's pushing him to this edge?
He's got mental health issues. So, I mean, they're not like he's not severely.
When he was a little boy, could you see these signs and symptoms?
Yeah, he had ADHD when he was young.
He did.
He still does, but, you know, you never really get rid of it. But he also has been diagnosed with explosive temper disorder and stuff like that. So
what did you have to do? Call the police or what happened?
Yeah, they called the police tonight, and an ambulance came out with the police, and they took him to a mental institution out there in Fort Worth. So,
well, we'll put him in our prayers, Scott. Hope everything works out there.
I also wanted to share with you one quick story that I've been meaning to share with you for a long time, and I hadn't got a chance to share it.
Sure.
I wanted to share it last night. But 15 years ago, I was truck driving in Florida. I was going down 75, going down towards Naples. And I passed an accident going down 75. A truck had gone off the road and hit a tree. It was like a little red Toyota truck or something. And I was talking to my mom on the phone and got down the road a ways, and I was getting tired. And I at first I thought maybe I was just tired. But I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I felt something like somebody, you know how you feel somebody that like, feels like somebody's looking at your back?
Yep.
You know, I felt something like that. And I turned around and looked back on my bunk in the back of my cab, and there was an old man sitting there. And it scared the living daylights out of me. I pulled my truck over. I jumped out of the truck. I was frantic. My mom was getting upset. And it took me about 30 minutes to get back in the truck. And I had to crawl up there slowly just to check it out first. But
that's freaky.
I got going back up after I delivered in Naples. Going back up, I stopped in Wildwood, Florida, at the TA, and I was sitting there. I was having breakfast, and the truck driver next to me slid a paper over to me and said, "Here, you want to read this?" And I just took it from it, and I took a bite of my breakfast, and I looked down, and my breakfast almost fell out of my mouth. I looked down, and the old man that I saw in the back of my cab was in the newspaper. He was the man that died in the truck that hit the tree.
That's amazing. And you saw him. That's a great story. Thanks. Wow. Let's go to Morgan in Seattle. Welcome to the program. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, George. How are you?
Great, sir. Thank you.
Let me tell you that strangest thing I've seen in my life. I'm 60 years old.
Okay.
I was in a well-lit kitchen with two of my friends. We were playing poker. There's a doorway to my left that you can go into a little room, and it goes outside. And then a doorway to my right, which went into their living room. Both doors were just open a little bit, just ajar. This dark shadow comes in on the left-hand door. It came in. It wasn't a figure. It immediately expanded to ceiling, to floor, wall to wall. And it slowly moved through the kitchen. It went to the other door, shrank back down in size, and went through the crack in the door.
Jeez.
Now, I didn't see anything for a second. My friend goes, "Whoa, did you see that?" All three of us saw it. And the best way I can describe it, George, is in your mind, take a really well-lit kitchen with like 10 bright lights. Now, turn off 9 of those lights. Okay, you see that room now?
Yeah. Yep.
Take that and move it through the well-lit kitchen.
Wow.
It was a dark shadow. That's the strangest thing.
And the fact that all of you saw it was amazing.
Yeah, that was actually the cool part.
That is. That tells me something happened there. Hey, thanks for that call, Morgan. I appreciate it. Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have? That was a great story.
It was a great story. Jonathan in Massachusetts, please talk about the last movie you watched in a movie theater.
The last movie that I saw in a movie theater.
That's a good one.
I think you and I went to a movie, didn't we? Wasn't
no.
it one of the Silence of the Lambs or something like that?
No.
What was the last movie I went to see? I think it was one of the Silence of the Lambs movies, for me at least.
That was a long time ago.
I know. I prefer to watch these things at home on video. When they come out. I mean, I'm looking forward, for example, The Irishman, the story about Frank Sheeran,
yeah.
who claims that he shot Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
That's in the theaters now.
I saw the scenes.
But then it goes to Netflix sometime this month, and I'm looking forward to watching that.
Well, it's so easy now to sit in your house and just have a big screen.
Yeah, and it's comfortable. You know, you can order a pizza or get a sandwich or whatever, and you'd have to, you know, get up and down and everything. The restrooms are there. Everything's at your convenience.
You need to go to a theater, though. That's a long time ago if it was Silence of the Lambs.
I honest to God, can't remember the last movie I saw in a theater.
Wow.
I was going to say Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but that's...
Even longer.
That's about 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
They're great, though, now. They have, like, reclining seats. They're pretty cool.
Are they smaller?
No, they're big recliners. And some of the theaters, at least out here, they have waitress service. Like, they come get your order.
Well, do you remember when the VHS machines came out for the first time, and you could watch movies at home on a VCR? Right?
Yeah, of course.
They said it was going to kill the movie industry. It did not. They ended up making more money because the movie industry went to, you know, video, they went to the theaters, they were all over the place. But now there's talk that with Netflix and Amazon, the theaters are really getting hurt. And
well, I think they have been anyway.
Here's my big question to you. What demographic do you think goes to movies?
Oh, younger kids.
Mostly younger kids.
Friday nights, the date night, stuff like that.
These things are all action. If you go back and look at some of the old movies, you can see some of them on YouTube. Let's say the old Frank Sinatra movies.
Okay.
They would be bombs today.
No one would go.
I mean, they were those were stories. And then they intertwined his singing or Dean Martin's singing in these old movies. That was part of the movie. They would never make it today.
No, not a chance. I miss drive-ins. Remember drive-ins?
Oh, I remember those. Absolutely.
Yeah, I miss those.
I think there's one left in the country.
One drive-in
left?
I
think there's just one left somewhere.
Should go sometime.
That's it. Anyways, Thomas in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Not Michigan, Wisconsin. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I've got some biblical evidence about the reality of karma.
Oh, really? How so?
Four verses which I think relate the truth of the matter.
All right, tell me.
The first one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And this is one that most of us are familiar with. It states in that verse, as you sow, it also shall you reap.
That's true.
And then in Matthew 15, Jesus says, with the very same measuring stick that you meet out, so too shall be measured back to you again. And then Jesus also says in the Gospel of Luke, give and it shall be given unto you.
What's the fourth one?
Job 4:8. As for those who sow trouble upon iniquity, these two shall receive the same.
Are you very religious?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, more spiritual-minded, but I have religion in my background.
But you're very astute with the Bible. How did that happen?
I studied and studied and studied. It was very much interesting to me, so I basically fell in love with the book.
Well, I got to tell you, when you read the Bible and think of it in terms of trying to interpret it yourself, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, especially it was written all those thousands of years ago. I mean, it really is something else. Let's go to Mary Jo in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Wow, it's really nice to hear you, and I try to catch your show when I can. Usually my 92-year-old mom calls me in the middle of the night and wakes me up.
Good for her.
Mary Lou. Yeah, she loves you.
Good for her. What was your favorite toy growing up as a kid?
Well, for me, I had many, but my youngest thought is that do you remember the Archies and when they put the album out, like in the 60s?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah. And so I had this little toy piano and a tambourine, and I would play through the album as Betty, and then I'd play through the album as Veronica. So, like, one on piano, one on tambourine. So much so that nobody will actually own up to it, broke my album.
No.
I think it was my mom, because I think she felt guilty and sent me a remake when they put a CD out of it. But yeah, I just loved playing those instruments to that album over and over and over.
When's the last time you played a record?
Oh my God, a real record? Like
a real one, like a spinning record.
A spinning record, I would say probably late 90s.
Things have really changed, haven't they?
Yeah, they sure have. And I used to work at a record company, and when CDs came out, I remember I had a boss, and he said, don't worry about the filing system on this new CD stuff. They won't stick around.
That's something.
Yeah, and he was my boss. That's funny. Anyhow, I just was calling in. Actually, I was on hold earlier to talk to Star. So my question for her, I don't know, it's kind of irrelevant, but it would be nice to hear a male's perspective on a situation that I'm going through.
All right, what is that?
Well, actually, my whole life's been turned upside down. I'm 53 years old, and, like, I have to start everything over again. I was married for 20 years, and, you know, it's...
It didn't work out.
Yeah, and it's a difficult situation because he works overseas all the time. I've only seen him 2 weeks, twice a year, so a month a year.
Did you have kids with him?
No. Last 15 years, though, we've been together, married and together for like 19 years. And, but he, I think, you know, obviously he got some things going on where he'd rather be there than at home.
I'm reading between the lines.
Right. And, I'm not really sure of anything, but I'm so uplifted that my whole life is upside down and I kind of just, I'm starting over again at 53, and it is quite scary.
Well, it's not easy. It's not easy starting over at just about any age. But
No. And I relied on his income because I'm currently disabled temporarily anyhow.
What happened to you?
Well, I got very sick, and my system shut down in 2012. But
so
I got better.
Is he helping you out at all?
Well, financially, like, we're not divorced yet, but it's like, we are, but we aren't. It's kind of in the system right now, and it's kind of goofy. But the thing is, though, like, you know, it's been so disruptive that I basically, after all these years, have moved back home with my mom, who, like I told you, is 92, and I'm staying in her apartment in the back. She has an apartment above her garage in the back. And I kind of grew up here as I was young, and because my aunt and my grandmother lived here their whole lives until they passed. And I've been seeing these shadows, like in the light of the doorway that I keep the door open. Well, there's really no choice. There's not a door between these two rooms, but there's light in there because I'm afraid to sleep in the dark. And, I'll be honest. And you know, it's a very old place, you know, over 100 years old, and so creaks and, you know, this and that. But I've been seeing like these shadows, and I just feel like the presence of my aunt and my grandma, that this place was meant for them, and they lived here their whole life. And it's just kind of like, I don't feel scared, but it scares me to where I get up and I actually think somebody's out there, like walking through.
Right, right. It's a little jarring, but they're probably hanging around to help you.
Well, that's what I was wondering, like, being that I'm so confused as to, you know, everything's upside down. I don't feel, I mean, that's, and I'm very spiritual and religious, and I mean, you know, I pray a lot. And so it was interesting listening to Star. And I just was wondering, like, I mean, it's like something I feel like my initial thought is like, do I cleanse the place? You know what I mean?
No, I would not. I think your first instincts were that it's your relatives. There's no need to cleanse the place. They're there to help you. And so take heed, take the advice of that, and then regroup yourself. Regroup yourself. Even in your 50s, you can pull it together. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Even though Halloween has come and gone, everybody still loves a scary story, don't they? And few people have heard more of them than our old friend podcaster Jim Harold, and I had an opportunity to talk with Jim. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Jim Harold, host of the Paranormal Podcast. We featured him once on one of our podcasting nights. A lifelong interest in the paranormal combined with his love of broadcasting and technology has resulted in some of the most successful podcasts of this type to date. Jim won't dress up in alien costumes and doesn't plan on buying the super official ghost detector yet, but He believes there's more out there than meets the eye. Welcome. He's also an author. He's got a lot of books out there, including The True Ghost Stories, Campfire 12345, and he's also got a coloring book out there. Jim, a coloring book?
Yeah. Recounting some of the campfire stories we've done on our campfire podcast and in our books over the years. And so glad to be with you once again, George. But in this current environment, as you said in the news segment, with the world being so strange, I wonder if these spooky stories, they're actually a little calmer than the news these days.
I think they are. And I think, Jim, people want a relief. Sometimes even a little break from the real stories that are out there that all of us in this business need to do and need to talk about. But it's always nice to sit back on a Friday night and just let the mind wander a little bit. And we're going to do that with you with some of these spooky ghost stories and paranormal issues. So thanks for joining us. And I trust all is well with you.
Oh, things are going great. We grow, you know, every year. No revolution, but more people listen, more people buy the books, and we just keep sharing the campfire stories and talking about the paranormal, and love doing it.
When we featured you, because we love tracking this, did you get a boost in your podcasts?
Oh, anytime I'm on Coast to Coast, I get a boost.
I love it.
You could just see it right on the charts.
So let us begin with you. What do you enjoy in the paranormal genre?
Because there's always something new. I mean, you've been talking about these things for decades and decades. I've only been doing the shows for 12 years. I've been interested since I was a little kid in the 70s. But there's always something new. As soon as you think, well, I've heard it all, then somebody will call up with something completely new, completely out of left field. And over time, I feel that my views evolve on all this stuff because there's always new information. So there's always something new. It never stays the same.
No, it doesn't. And what do you have a specific favorite area of the supernatural?
Well, you know, I enjoy all of it. But I, you know, people say, well, is there one question you would want answered? I would love to know, what is the deal with the afterlife? Because as I often say, we might not all see Bigfoot. We might not all see a ghost or a UFO. But I have news for everyone. Eventually, we're all going to die. And I would love to know, and I'm fascinated by stories of near-death experiences and that sort of thing. So I think if I had to have the answer, and the thing that fascinates me most, I think that is, to me, the ultimate question.
Yeah, it sure is. But, you know, there's something about the supernatural that just gets everybody excited and fun. My granddaughter went to see the movie It tonight with a boyfriend, and she was all excited about it. And I said, Ari, what are you excited about? This is scary. The first one was scary. This one's probably worse. But why do people like to get scared?
Well, I think when it comes to things like this, like It, which I have to see, so I'm envious that people have seen it already, but I think that it's kind of like riding a roller coaster. You can get on a roller coaster, and you can have the fright of your life. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die. But you know somewhere in the back of your mind you're still safe, but yet you have that thrill. Plus, I think it's tying into the idea of what I was talking about earlier, that people hope and think that there's something more. Just to recap, a huge flash. They're at this deserted road, and a huge flash, nobody around. Dad turns left, guy in a welder's mask, what he interpreted as that. Remember, this is 1970. And anyway, he's flying out of this rural area on this back road, and all of a sudden, on the side of the hill, they see what they describe as the largest birds they'd ever seen with these huge wingspans. And, you know, I've known that story since I was a little kid, and my dad and my mom, when she was with us, never deviated, never changed a syllable, same story for 40 years. Anyway, I was interviewing Mike Cleland, who has done a book on the supernatural aspect of owls. And there's one theory that owls may be a screen memory implanted by aliens to block the memory of an experience. So I'm not saying that's the case, but perhaps my parents, instead of seeing owls, were actually seeing aliens And these screen memories were implanted. Now, I know that's kind of out there, that's kind of wild, but right in the middle of the interview when I was talking with him about this, it's like, oh my goodness, this could explain my parents' story. So I guess these kind of stories have been implanted, so to speak, in me for a long time. And that's really one of my favorite UFO stories. It just happens to be my family.
I love that story. Now, let's talk a little bit more about some of the other strange aspects of the paranormal. Have you done stories on Mothman and Bigfoot and creatures like that?
Well, certainly Bigfoot. We've had people who have seen large cryptid creatures. We've had people that have seen reported creatures with red glowing eyes. Mothman, not as much. There was a story we had several years ago about La Chusa, which is, as I understand it, a legend in the Latino cultures about kind of this evil woman creature who will come down, and we've had reports of people seeing that. We've also had reports of Chupacabra, a gentleman who actually, I believe, was of the medical background in Los Angeles over by Griffith Park, I believe it was, where the Hollywood sign is, in the park over there, reporting seeing something that was like a chupacabra. So we kind of do it all. So even though we focus on ghost stories, we do get a lot of these other areas like cryptids, UFOs, and so forth.
What do you think of pets in the paranormal?
Oh, I think that it's so interesting. I'm a pet lover, and I know millions of people out there listening are. But yes, I think things happen. We've had many stories of visitations after a beloved, let's say, a dog passes. People waking up, and all of a sudden their dog who has passed is by their bed, and they're petting it, and then they realize Fido's died a year ago, but there's Fido. And one of my favorite stories was around this woman who unfortunately had to make the decision to put down her beloved dog. Anybody's had to do that. It's just a horrible thing, but at some point you have to do it for their own good. And anyway, she had come back from doing this, and so sad. And she had the collar with the tags on it. Now, anybody who has a dog knows that if you've got the tags on the dog's collar, every dog sounds a little bit different. It's very distinctive. You could tell which dog's coming by the sound of the jingle of the collar. So she put it up in her garage. And then later that night or the next day, she started hearing that collar jingling around her house.
That's right.
And she saw that as that dog saying, "I'm okay, I love you, and goodbye." And it's very touching. And yeah, people report it. It's really seems to be real.
I love the stories where people will have like a cat that passed on, and they'll be in bed and they'll see the indentation of the paw prints with the little cat walking around on the bed.
Yes,
those are so cool.
Very much so. And I mean, people say, do pets have souls? I almost think they have to.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
You know, I'm on the fence about that one, but I'll tell you, there's some great stories out there, particularly stories involving children. I had one from the UK. This was with Michelle in the United Kingdom. And she told this story about her oldest son. He was 3 years old at the time. This was many years ago. And it was a summer day, and they were looking out at the back garden, and she heard a biplane fly over. Now, if the folks remember, a biplane, like what the Red Baron flew.
Yeah.
What they flew back in World War.
That's right.
Anyway.
They looked like they were made out of paper.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's amazing they even flew. But anyway, the three-year-old pipes up and said, "That sounds like the plane that killed me." And his mom says, "Really?" And the boy goes on, he says, "Yeah. I had another mom. I was a man, and I was called Stephen." And then this child went on to tell this story about he lived in London, and his girlfriend used to come around, and they were sitting in their house, and they were listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it went boom, and there was blood everywhere, and he died. This little boy is telling this story, and the mom is letting him go and just amazed because it's nothing he could have picked up on television. It was just so unusual because he never watched anything like that. And years later, she said, of course, he doesn't remember it. But she's so upset because this was Michelle from the UK. She said that she wishes she would have asked some more questions, but she was afraid of, you know, kind of leading him on to say certain things. So she kind of just let him say his piece. But there's so many cases like that. I think James Leininger, the little boy who claimed to be a World War II aviator.
Yeah, that was a great story.
He knew so many facts. So many things of young people coming back knowing things that they shouldn't know. So I can't say 100% I'm a believer, but my interest is certainly perked.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go to some of the phones. First-time caller Patrick is truck driving in Virginia. Welcome to the show, Patrick. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Great, Pat. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what y'all thought about this. So I only told two people this alive. That's a wife and a preacher. And the preacher, he had like he was real concerned about it, but he never went no further. But when I was about four, I was laying in my bed, and this person just walked through my door, and I don't know why, but I called her the colored lady. It just always stuck in my mind, the colored lady, because she was all different colors. And then as she was walking to me, I was scared to death. I covered my head with the covers. But that's the last thing I remember. And then I woke up, and this thing was in my bed holding my hand. And I remember it was real cold feeling and real sticky feeling. And I don't know. I panicked, or I just don't know what I did. It's like I went back to sleep, and then I woke up again, and it was gone, and I hightailed it to my mom and dad's room and got up under their bed and slept there for the rest of the night. And that was the only time I had a contact with this thing. And I was just wanting to get y'all's take on, I mean, what this could have been, maybe.
What the heck was that, Jim?
I don't really know, but I think of things like the old hag syndrome.
Right.
Or, you know, sleep paralysis. And we've had many reports of people seeing things, particularly children, seeing odd things, not being able to move. Seems to be very common, and a lot of people, like the caller, say, I've only experienced it the one time, and it was when I was very young. I actually had a man claim, and later he says his brother backed him up on this independently. They'd not talked about it, but 20 years later they talked about it and agreed they saw the same thing. He said he saw what looked like a leprechaun when he was a child. And most people would like, ha-ha, that's funny, he saw a leprechaun. But no, he may have seen something, but interpreted it in a way his mind could deal with it as a leprechaun. It might have been something else. But did he see something? I'm guessing they didn't. I'm guessing that your caller saw something.
He might have. Let's go to Jeff in Indiana. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
I've got a question. Do poltergeists inherently have to be evil spirits?
That's a good question, Jim. Are they necessarily always evil? I think they might be.
I don't know. The most interesting discussion of that I've had over the years has been with a journalist by the name of Michael Clarkson from up in Canada. And he had done a serious study on this. And this guy had been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, and he came up with the idea that there is something to it. The thing that's always interested me about poltergeist is it seems to be highly coincidental with adolescence, and that it's kind of an energy. Now, is that like some kind of evil spirit glomming on to it? I mean, I've not really heard of a lot of happy poltergeist stories, so I guess there's an evil aspect to it. But I always find it so interesting that it seems to happen in households where you have a lot of adolescents and teenagers. I always thought that was so interesting.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light.
Nothing like good old UFO Phil, and I'll be on Sunday. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Napany, and Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.